Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're digging into a book that completely rewired how I think about thinking. It's called The Neural Mind by George Lakoff and Srini Narayanan. Sophie, you've been waiting to talk about this one, so I'm just going to hand you the mic.
Thanks, Sam. And hi, everyone. This book is a game changer because it challenges this age-old idea that our minds are like computers, just processing logic and symbols. Lakoff and Narayanan say, nope, our minds are shaped by our physical bodies. It's a total paradigm shift, and it's honestly mind-blowing when it clicks.
Totally. And the book starts by dismantling this notion of the literal mind. We used to think concepts had clean definitions, like a bachelor is an unmarried male. But the authors show that the exception, not the rule.
Right.
The vast majority of our thinking is metaphorical. And they mean that literally, not just poetically. It's a cognitive mechanism.
So give me an example. How is more a metaphor?
Think about it. When you get a raise, your salary goes up. When the temperature rises, it goes up. When your spirits are high, you're feeling up. That's the more is up metaphor. And it comes from our physical experience of adding more to a pile.
Oh, I see. The level literally goes up. So we're mapping the physical experience of verticality onto the abstract concept of quantity. That's wild.
Exactly. And it's not just how we talk. It's how we think. When we judge importance, we unconsciously associate it with height. The more important concept is higher.
So where do these metaphors come from? Are we born with them?
We learn them as infants. Affection is warmth, comes from being held close by a warm body. Intimacy is closeness, comes from being near someone. Knowing is seeing, because when we see something clearly, we understand it.
And these are universal because our bodies are universal. A kid in any culture feels the same physical correlations.
Exactly.
And then these primary metaphors blend to form complex abstract reasoning. Take categories. In logic, a category is a container with strict boundaries. But that's a metaphor. Categories are containers.
Right? Because we experience our own bodies as containers. We take in food and air, we expel waste. So we map that inside-outside logic onto categorization. That's why things fall into categories.
And this has huge implications for morality. Our moral reasoning isn't just abstract principles. It's built on metaphors like morality is strength. We talk about moral fiber, succumbing to temptation, standing up for what's right.
So being immoral is being weak-willed. That's grounded in the experience of exerting physical force to resist pressure.
And there's morality is nurturance, based on being cared for as a child. And morality is purity, based on physical cleanliness. An immoral act is dirty.
So political ideologies are basically different metaphors. Conservatives emphasize strength and self-reliance. Progressives emphasize nurturance and compassion.
And it goes even further. They argue that even mathematics is grounded in the body. Numbers come from grouping objects. Addition comes from putting things together. The number line is a metaphorical projection of motion along a path.
Whoa. So arithmetic is basically the logic of our bodies moving through space and manipulating objects. That's deep.
It is. And it challenges our idea of truth. They call it embodied realism. We can have a shared, objective understanding of the world, but always from a human perspective. We can't get a God's eye view.
Does that mean anything is true? Like, reality is just a social construction?
No, not at all. A chair is still a chair, and it will support your weight. But the way we conceptualize it as a stable object with a function is a consequence of our bodies and needs. A jellyfish might see it completely differently.
That's actually really liberating. And it leads to this idea of framing, which I think is super practical.
Oh, absolutely. If you frame a political issue as a war on terror, you activate the logic of war with enemies and battles. That makes military action seem natural and diplomacy seem naive. But if you frame it as a crime problem, you get different solutions.
So it's not about facts. It's about which frame dominates the public consciousness. The side that wins the framing wins the argument.
And the book also gets into the neural science behind all this. They talk about simulation semantics. When you read, "John kicked the ball," your brain partially simulates the action of kicking.
So the meaning of a word isn't a static definition. It's a set of neural instructions for simulating an experience. That's incredible.
It is. And it has practical implications for education. Rote memorization is less effective than embodied learning. Students learn math better when they can physically manipulate objects, science better when they do experiments.
So the traditional classroom is fighting against how the brain actually learns. And what about AI? The book has some thoughts on that, right?
Yeah, it's a critique of classical AI. A computer that just manipulates symbols will never truly understand because it lacks a body. True AI will need a robotic body that learns from interacting with the world, like a human infant.
So this book, it's not just about philosophy. It's about everything. It changes how you see yourself. You're not a ghost in a machine.
And that's the takeaway, really. Your deepest convictions, your most abstract insights, all of them are shaped by the fact that you have a body that moves through space, feels warmth and cold, reaches out and grasps objects.
For me, the one thing I'm taking away is that my mind is not in my brain alone. It's in my body, and my body is in the world. It's humbling and exhilarating at the same time.
And if you want to go deeper, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It's $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. So here's the thing, the poetry of the mind is written in the neural language of the body. We'll see you in the next one.